But Judah,
I don't want to get into Sammy's religious beliefs.
No, but wait a second.
Really believe,
we're making
a lot of confused.
What I'm trying to do here, wait a second. Yeah. What I'm trying to do is to bring up factual issues, the actual facts, okay? How we feel about them is another story.
They've
okay,
made their religion a
okay,
value,
but wait a
and
second.
People are trying to get in there.
Wait
you
a second.
You see what I'm saying?
So Jews are good people. Most Jews are good people. They are
you know, we
are.
Went, we,
whether
we've
they're good people
from,
or not,
gone
I'm
from
only
race,
saying that they've
gone
made,
from race
hold of a second,
to religion.
Hold of a second. We don't have to be frightened and say whether they're good or bad. They are just people, and they're just like us.
Exactly.
In people, you have good and bad people,
yeah,
so you don't have to make that distinction.
They just going to keep on talking no matter what I do.
It's like saying something about God and then saying, but oh, I'm religious. Because you're scared.
Exactly.
So let's be just deal with the facts and don't
pull them both down. They won't know what's going on. They're too busy arguing with each other. By the way, this is WBAI 99.5 on your FM radio tuner in New York City. And you're listening to, I guess this is No Mo Radio at this particular time. We're playing some, we're talking to people on the phones. That's what we're doing. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes.
You're talking really low, and we can't hear you. So I stopped because you were saying something.
Yeah, well, you see, I put you all down so I could tell the people they're listening to WBAI Radio in New York. And
okay.
I was about to tell people also that there's going to be some cussing going on, only because I'm going to play Dead Prez. Being playing Psychology is the next cut I'm going to play. So whenever you all, you know, continue to go on, but I'm going to play Psychology sooner or later.
When we finish, Anthony, I want you to answer that question for me.
Let me play Psychology, then I'll come back and answer your question. You all keep on going, because I'm just going to play it as you all keep on going. Just keep on with your little discussion.
I'm getting out of here. Okay?
All right, great.
I'm leaving my point. I'm not going to finish it, so.
Nice meeting.
Because I got to, you know, do my work.
I got you.
And be prepared for tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Bye. Grayson's gone. Yes.
I never do this, man.
Huh?
I never do this, get on the radio like this. I'm just
I kind of like it. I kind of like
this heat, you know?
Yeah, in terms of you saying blacks can't get it together.
Well, I'm not saying they can't get it together. I'm just saying there's a few of them that still, you know, they still trying to get along and you got to break away and build your own thing to do it. You know, I'm not saying becoming...
You know, I think the answer is this. We black can't do it alone. We have to...
I don't believe that.
No.
I don't believe that.
Somebody hung up.
Nah, I don't believe that. I think we got everything we need right here to, you know, to put it together. I think we got every type of...
Hold on, I gotta figure out who hung up. Hold on. I gotta figure out who hung up by putting the hold on button like this. Then I put next on like this. So this person, that person, okay. Take him out. Now I put you both back on. Okay, you're back on.
Yeah.
No, I think I could come in there and work that board now, you know.
He probably could.
Okay. As I was saying.
Let me put my vitamin C into my organic apricot nectar.
Yeah.
My 24.4 fluid ounces of organic apricot nectar, hand-packed Italian apricot.
Oh, do you know that it's organic? Or somebody's trying to con
you? Anthony, I'm
going to have
to get
out of here
and get this fan back on, man, all right? But,
you're
going to
put the fan back on?
For me.
I'm going to answer your question. Okay, I'll answer your question. Can I play Dead Prez?
Go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to play Dead Prez. Y'all, go someplace. I'm going to play Dead Prez. Bye.
I was born in a dump. My mama died and my daddy, he got drunk. He left me here to die and grow in the middle of Tobacco Road. I grew up in a rusty shack. All I own was hanging on my back. And Lord knows how I learned this place called Tobacco Road. Tobacco Road, you're dirty and you're filthy. Tobacco Road, gonna get me some dynamite and a crane. I'm gonna blow it up. Lord knows I'm gonna start all over again.
My mind is a place where I make my plans. The world is a place where I take my stand. The beauty of life is mine today. They cannot take my mind away.
What you heard, I'm from Africa.
This ain't no act, it's mathematical. Past the black radical, I choose the M1 because it's practical. Nothing was changed, we ain't protecting no names, it's all factual. They push the wrong buttons, count down to detonate. Brooklyn's on the way in the world, we'll have to speculate. This is what we learn in the streets. Degree, believing none of what you hear and half of what you
just
see.
It's like watching your own father smoke crack. I have nightmares like that. No way in hell I ever get like that. I've seen a lot of 22 years, it's like a tour of duty. My life is booby trapped, it's hard to see the beauty when your heart is turning ice cold. Cold like your hands exposed to blistering wind. My mother keep her eyes closed, she say she's praying. I listen close to what she's saying. When she speaks of Jesus, I ignore it. But when it's practical, I'm all for it. You got to think like a soldier. I'm training myself to snatch pistols out of holsters. Discipline, keep the mind focused. This whole world is a cornfield, son. Look out for flying locusts. Don't let them get in your head, they try to probe you. Figure your thoughts so they can try and control you. And through you, control your whole crew. It's psychology, boy. Now what that makes you wanna do? Don't let them get in your head, they try to probe you. Figure your thoughts so they can try and control you. And through you, control your whole crew. It's psychology, boy. Now what that makes you wanna
you can't
do?
Walk the streets with no state of mind. Blind to the ways of mankind. And if you know the time, give me a sign. Tell me where we draw the line. I got your back if you got mine. My enemy's enemy is my man. One dreadlock is stronger than one strand. While a king got the upper hand, my comrades stand on land stolen. Every tooth a golden opportunity. Who holding my community hostage? 10% ransom, costing us time, we lost and some. This is how the plan runs, sticking with a fugitive brain. What we do to live is insane. Holding the weed, healing my membranes. Just like crack, you know it all boils down to the dollars and cents of it. Commence to get rent to sentence to serve terms. Jumping the fence, the black germ is loose. When will they learn?
Like piss on walls and smoke, reaping the halls. No respect for their laws. I cut your face with a kitchen knife. It's gladiator time. Man against machinery. The tree off the sea. Help me blend with the scenery, boy. Life is a series of serious choices. Theories is formed from experience. Never mysterious forces. Various courses of life could lead to failure. Too much of anything is a trap. My mind snapped. Guerrilla warfare for $2,000. They say karate mean empty hands. So then it's perfect for the poor man. Poor man. They say karate mean empty hands. So then it's perfect for the poor man. Don't let them get in your head. They try to probe you. Dig in your thoughts so they can try and control you. And do you control your whole crew? It's psychology, boy. Now what the f*** makes you wanna do? Don't let them get in your head. They try to probe you. Dig in your thoughts so they can try and control you. And do you control your whole crew? It's psychology, boy. Now what the f*** that makes you wanna do?
Organized, and we won't survive.
Think of pyramids and pistols and glimmering gold teeth that shine like crystals. The mind is like a jewel, son. Only a fool wouldn't grasp it. Wisdom is a tool to get blasted. When you think of us, think of pyramids and pistols and glimmering gold teeth that shine like crystals. The mind is like a jewel, son. Only a fool wouldn't grasp it. Wisdom is a tool to get blasted.
It is glorious, this history of ours. It is a great story, that of the Negro in America. It begins way before America was America, or the USA, the USA. It covers a wide span, our story. Let me tell it to you. Hear the wind in the sails of the ships of Columbus? They say one of his pilots, Pedro Alonso Nino, was a Negro. That was in 1492. Certainly by the early 1500s, black explorers were coming to the New World. One of them was Estevan, or Estevanico, his nickname, which means in Spanish, Kid Steve.
Tierra! Ahí está Tierra!
From the deck of a Spanish galleon, he cried, "Land! There is land!" when he first sighted the coast of what is now Florida. On that coast, his ship was wrecked, and Estevan, with four Spaniards, were the only man left alive. Perhaps because he was colored, Estevan got along well with the Indians. He learned their various languages and soon became a famous guide and translator for other explorers who could not communicate with the Indians. All the way across the southern part of what is now the United States and as far as Mexico City, for 8 years Estevan wandered. From Mexico in 1539, he set out with Friar Marcos de Niza on an expedition toward the north to find the fabled seven cities of Cibola, which were said to be built of gold. Estevan was the only Negro in the group. The Spaniards held out until they got as far as what is now Texas. Then the heat and the dust overcame them. They asked Estevan if he would go ahead with the Indian guides and send word back to them as to what he found. Estevan did not find the cities of gold, but he did find rich Indian pueblos with houses of sun-baked brick, whose doorways were decorated with turquoise, and he discovered the rich and beautiful country of gold, cotton, copper, and flowers that is now Arizona. So you see, the first Negroes did not come to America as slaves. They came as explorers. History says that when Balboa discovered the Pacific, 30 colored men were in his party. 1619 was the year when the roots of slavery began in Virginia, and ships filled with captured black men and women began to sail across the Western Ocean to our shores. In chains, crowded in the dark holds of the slave ships, they sang their mournful songs. Sometimes whole groups of Africans taken on deck at night for air would leap into the sea, committing mass suicide rather than go into slavery. As soon as they were landed and sold, some would run away into the forest and join the Indians. No man wanted to be a slave. But thousands of Africans were brought by force to America to plant cotton, rice, corn, and wheat, to build the roads and clear the forests, to do almost all the hard work that went into the early building of America.
WBA, are you there? Well, not you. Sorry about that. Go off. WBA, are you in the air?
Hey, good morning, my brother.
Good morning. How are you?
And I call simply because I heard one of your guests say that there was no black men or blacks in America that had been in no war with white America. And I have to challenge that.
Well, before you go challenging too much, well, guess our listening public, you know, don't get too riled up. I have to answer a question, though. There was a question about my behavior then, my behavior now. Seems like I've become a more reasonable person in somebody's eyes. And I think the way we referred to that morning with Clayton Riley, I think it was the morning they were referring to is actually the morning of Martin Luther King's birthday this year. And what happened was that at that particular time, it wasn't clear whether Amy Goodman, who was co-hosting the morning show in some form of fashion before all this stuff happened, was still reporting in to do the morning show thing. And Clayton and her were getting to their regular tiff that they had every morning. What happened, though, was that, and you have to, too bad Brother Shine isn't here because he'd understand it perfectly what I'm talking about. Actually, Clayton understands perfectly what I'm talking about, too. I am the engineer for Democracy Now. That's That's my job at that particular time. Another person, I'm going to leave names out of it, but another person was the engineer for the morning show at that time. What happened when Amy went to her regular thing with Clayton, what happened was that engineer jumped in. Okay? Now, I came in to take Amy out of the room. She wouldn't budge. But because that engineer jumped in, and I was just sitting down there minding my own business, and Clayton basically said, well, what do you have to say? You know, you're here. What do you think? All this stuff. And when he asked me that question, I answered him. I just asked him a simple question. I said, do you know what you're doing? You know what I mean? Are you clear that the person, because I was there when the person who started this annual Martin Luther King Day thing, I was his assistant at the particular time, he was doing emanations for a membership drive. It was actually before a membership drive anyway. I was there, and he started this tradition many a year ago, and you're now sitting in this tradition in an atmosphere where basically, you know, things are in upheaval. And the second question I asked him, I said, well, now, we've had two hosts at this morning show, rotating hosts, and then you were the third person. This is another week that you're coming in. Is there going to be another host for this other week? He said he didn't know, and then we went on to this thing about Martin Luther King. And he basically said, yes, he knew what he was doing. And that particular time, I was through. I said, okay, fine. I asked my question. I'm through. I have nothing else to say. But at that crucial moment when I was through, another person came into the studio. And basically, they said, I want some of this. You know, words to that effect. And then they said something. And they were directing it towards me. So I answered them. I said, well, what if, and I explained to him, what if somebody came into your department and did this and that, and he wouldn't answer the question. And I think that's where we sort of get mixed up, because when Clayton and I were through, Clayton and I, well, you know, we have our misunderstandings and understandings, you know. And, you know, at this particular point in time, I guess we're all right. He says hello to me. I say hello to him when I see him, which is not often.
And
that's it. But I'm just trying to, I want to clear that for the other brother.
Okay.
You understand that
my
that's
brother,
what the deal was.
Listen to me for a minute.
Yes.
You were taking me way where I don't even know what all of that was about.
Oh, because you weren't listening a half hour ago when the question was asked. But that's all right.
Just listen to me for a minute.
I'm listening.
What I was saying is that one of the young men, and I assume they're younger than I, because I'm 64, earlier said that blacks here in this country
did not fight the white man like the Indians fought the white man.
Yeah. A war like the Native American.
Right.
My grandmother is Native American, Seminole. Okay. So I know full well Joe Louis was a war. That wasn't just a boxer, that was a war. Muhammad Ali was a war. Jack Johnson was a war. Half of these people that come here from Jamaica, Haiti, and everywhere else is here simply because black people in this country fought what was called a nonviolent war. But we were killed.
Well, we understand that. But you understand, the people that come to this country, they don't see that. They don't know that. And when they're told that, they don't want to believe that.
That's
plus, remember they come to this country. They don't come to this country to liberate this country or liberate their brethren and sisters. They come to this country to make some money so they can send back to the country that they're living, that they come from, to make their immediate family, you know, more prosperous.
You know,
so they're going for the okey-doke, no matter how you look at it. They're going for the wealth and the okey-doke. And what the Indians, look, I was laying in a lake upstate New York in the 70s. You know, that was just preparing to do a ritual for Henry Dumas. And I was in this lake and surrounded by this beauty. And I just looked up and I said, you know, the Indians messed up. They should have fought harder, you know. But guess what? That's history, you know. And when people come to this country, they don't know the history of you know, 5th and 6th and 29th generation black Americans. And they start stepping on you because they didn't saw some 60s movie or some 70s sitcom, you know. They have this total misperception of what black Americans are about, and they keep on putting us down. I don't even listen to them. I say, fine, I hear you. I'm not here to win an argument. You know, you just got to study your history a little bit more, because if you were that swift, then you wouldn't have to come here. What you do is you liberate your country.
All right.
And then you ferment that liberation in all those islands there. And when that area gets liberated, then that liberation will spread someplace else. And then finally, don't worry about us. We'll take care of our liberation. And then we can all hook up. Yeah, I understand
that's my point.
But you see, that's our point of view. They don't have that point of view. Why should they have that point of view?
That's my point, my brother. If they are so swift, they come here to get the education, why didn't they go back to Jamaica and free Jamaica? That's my point. If your behind is not in Black America, get it out of America. Go home.
Well, okay.
That's my point, my brother.
I hear you. But by the way, just for the edification of our audience, before we were into this little discussion and I answered the question from the other brother, actually I have answered him fully because I say what my original strategy is and still is. I played from the voice of Langston Hughes a thing called The Struggle. And right before you heard The Struggle, you heard from, actually, these folks are supposed to be guests on Democracy Now! This morning between 9 and 10 o'clock, right here in good old Control Room 3, Dead Prez. And they're from their album Let's Get Free, and it's a thing called Psychology. They actually didn't curse on that one. Right. You know, actually, they listened to WBAI. They got a lot of information or their education from WBAI. So that's it. Okay, is that all you have? I got
to
go.
Yeah, my brother, I just wanted to say finally, mm-hmm, that, you know, truly, I believe in struggle. I've been in the struggle a long time. But don't put me down for the fight that my people did here. Don't put us down.
I hear you. Amen. Okay, got to go. Whoop. WBAI, you on there?
I thought I cleared this beat thing up weeks ago.
Let's clear it up. It's just that, no, I can't explain this. It's just I'm doing something else here. Don't worry about it. Can I get you on? No, I don't have to get you on. I know what's going on. Yes, you had something to say.
Well, I don't know. So it was Herbert Hunky in the early 40s that was using the word beat, but he used it. You talked about words having different meanings, and the word did evolve. He meant it negatively at first. He would, you know, be sort of hunched over with a cigarette in his mouth, complaining that this and that and everything else is beat, meaning wiped out, you know, negative, everything else. Kerouac turned it around later, and Burroughs picked up the word. A lot of people picked up the word from him, but they started using it different meanings, mainly like beatific, you know, like the experience of bliss, whatever. Mm-hmm. So Kerouac was the one that coined the term beat generation. We're the beat generation.
But okay,
he was turning
that
the word on its head, and he was using it to reflect, you know, the word beatific, and also beat like in music, you know, jazz.
Let me throw this one in here for our good old man Lenny Bruce. Lenny Bruce once said that if you say a word long enough and you know, and just mantra it, then the word changes meaning in your mantra.
Well, words change meaning. Every word changes meaning regardless. And there's even a few words that have definitions that are opposite each other, like the word cleave. You know, cleavage?
Mm-hmm.
One definition is to put two things together, and the other definition is to split two things apart.
Okay, and your point of, let's get back to the beat.
Every word evolves. Okay. Every word changes and goes through multiple meanings, just about.
Okay, that's it?
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to weigh in on a few other things, I guess. Eminem is awful.
Okay.
Eminem is just awful. It's significant because he's the first white rapper to have a large black audience accept him. Unlike, say, Vanilla Ice or Limp Bizkit, at least I imagine that Limp Bizkit doesn't have a big black audience. I don't like him, but there's something kind of good about it, I suppose, that he's, you know, that he has acceptance there, and that, you know, that it's not so racially polarized.
Okay, that's it?
I guess.
Okay, I'll check you.
Cool.
Bye. Well, what shall we do? Shall I play? Well, BAI, you're on the air.
Yeah, what's up?
Well, your radio is up as well.
Okay, it's off. It's off. It's on low now. You know, I've been listening to this whole conversation this morning.
Well, first it was a technical conversation.
I just like to put my little 2 cents in this.
Okay.
I'll just give you my opinion, and I'm going to be right fast and quick because I'm at work. You know, my beef is with the rap community. I had the opportunity to listen to this guy, Eminem. In my opinion, I personally don't like the guy. I'll tell you why. Okay.
Let me ask you something. Let me ask something before you go on. Let me ask you something.
What?
A couple of records ago, I played Dead Prez.
Yeah?
Have you heard Dead Prez?
Yes, I have.
And you, what do you think about Dead Prez?
The music is conscious, it's awareness.
Well, why don't you think that? Why aren't they as big as Eminem?
Well, you know, what he has done, to, in my opinion, is took negative rap and made off big on it. Okay, I think that it's a disrespect to our brothers and sisters, especially the ones in the rap community. Okay, now I'm not saying that you shouldn't sing rap music. Okay, because you have a right to do what you want in this country. But if you're gonna be a rapper, man, you know. Do it with some kind of positivity so that you don't, I don't want you to get on the stage talking about this negative influence and then, you know, make off on a black culture and then, you know, white America rises you up and now all of a sudden now you one of the top rappers. I mean, and it's like a smack in the face to the rappers, you understand what I'm saying, to the black rappers. You know, if you're going to step to the brothers on the rap scene, you know, step with something, you know, steady your virgin. Don't come with something, you know, negative. So, I'm going to do it negative too. I'm going to get out here and say this, all these negative things, and then they rise you up because you're a lily white boy, and then all of a sudden now you're this big rapper. Now you done came through the ranks. You ain't come through no ranks. All you did was start singing negative rap, and all of a sudden now you big top stuff now.
Okay,
I don't find that. I can't relate to that. Now, if he would have came with something positive, I would say, okay, cool. At least he's not, you know, coming negative. Now, if you take Vanilla Ice, he came with rap, but his rap wasn't as filthy as this guy Eminem. You understand?
I don't want to talk about Ice.
Rock and roll music.
Or the M. I want to talk about this.
You gotta be bold, you gotta be wiser, you gotta be
Here is my dilemma. Gotta be cool, gotta be calm, gotta be wiser. And, you know, it'd be... I mean, and I do believe love, and only love, will save the day. But when you look at it, if you like the last man standing, you know, or better still, if you have other things happening in your life that's so incredibly positive, and in fact, you can see will change the landscape of the artistry that you're in, and then you got to piddling around with you know, a bunch of people at a radio station who ain't got the gumption to even demand what a radio station needs, you know, you wonder, you know, what are you doing here? Now, what are you really doing here? No, you know, when people don't want to talk about strategies and tactics, and the only strategy and tactic they will talk about is that, well, you should be quiet until, you know, until we see what happens, you know, 7 months later, you know, what they say, you better do this. I mean, you know, you got to deal with that. Then you got this all this other nice stuff. Well, you know, like great stuff happening. I mean, you can really, the other stuff, you can taste what's going to happen. And you see, I mean, that's my dilemma, but that's my struggle. What am I to do? Shall I? Because I really don't have to be here. WBAI in there. Hello. It's you. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I'd like to make 3 comments on what was said tonight.
Well,
number
I don't
one,
know if you can
I
make
missed
3.
Brother Shine.
Okay.
That's the first thing. The second thing is the person who said that the people should go back to Jamaica and liberate Jamaica. The people in the Caribbean, the West Indians, did not get their liberation by sitting around and negotiating it for them. They have negotiated for them. I'm a West Indian. And they fought the British and the French to a standstill, including burning down the plantation and burning down the plantation owner's houses and killing him and burying him. You understand? And as far
I think
as education
the point
is concerned,
before you jump to the third one,
hold on.
Before you keep on going. The point was made, the point you were saying that I agree with, is that what happens is Caribbean people come to America and they put down American black people. His point was, well, listen, if you think that American black people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, that's fine and dandy. But before you come here and do that, what you need to do is liberate your country to your satisfaction. Without people buying up your land or whatever it is, ferment that revolution in your country, and then let it spread to the rest of the Caribbean. Then, as you are free, guess what? We'll be ready, and Brazil will be ready, and all the Garifuna villages down the south of the Central American coast will be ready, and hopefully Africa will be ready. That
Many
was the
of
point.
The people in the South and Central America who are black are descendants of people out of the Caribbean who went
That's
there
right.
after they got. Out from under the British in 1836.
And everybody is descended
okay,
from Africa.
Okay, everybody's the same. And my family came here years ago, and we as kids were beaten by the black Americans because our parents were from the Caribbean. We did
okay,
nothing
so,
to them. They even set fire
so,
to our house.
So what you're saying,
you're black Americans. I don't go in for dividing people up, but this nonsense our people came here and did this and said this about the black Americans. We didn't say anything about the black Americans. The black Americans is always complaining, and up to this very day, some I know who have master's degrees complain that black people come here and take away their jobs. Others who are standing in the street feel the same way about it. We have no right to be here and to do anything. They cannot, they will not fight the guy who has white and have 50 cents, but they'll fight us if we have 5 cents. Have a nice evening. Bye.
WBA in there.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah. Just a minute or two, I'd like to say some things that are both personal or impersonal. My own?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've known a lot of people, both living and dead at the station for years. The people I'm talking to outside now are Margot, actually, who you read from, and Charles Pitson way back, and Paul McIsaac. And the only person I know, Fred Hershkowitz, for years, and I'm very close to Carletta. Personally, And the thing that I'm feeling, and I'll go quick because time is short, and this will be impersonal because I just said something personal. I'm just reading an article by Ellen Willis, who writes at the Village Voice about the corporatization of that newspaper. What she said is that with all its faults and difficulties, and even it was privately owned, the editors, basically, and the writers owned the place, even if not in principle, in practice. And given what's going on now, it's been completely denatured. It's a corporate product. The writers weren't able to hold. What really worries me now, and I have strong feelings about the station, humanly anyway, and Brother Shine made a powerful statement about leaving the other night. It was a complicated one, a powerful one. Is I'm really worried about the denaturing of this place as part of a broad phenomenon, as a voice and all that, that it could be so changed, conceivably, that it wouldn't even matter if it was sold.
May I just interject this? Just a little bit of...
Can you speak up? I can't
I'm sorry. Let me just interject this. A little bit of Anthonyism here. Ready? Ding, 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 ding. Give this man a cigar. Yes. I agree with you. But go on.
And I would go further, which is complicated. Marjorie Moore talked yesterday morning, and I take that seriously. I'm not there every day. I have my own intuitions. I've been around movements and communities that what she called the toxic atmosphere, bad vibes and all that. I don't dismiss that. I think that has to be looked at because a lot of times we get on such sides that it gets difficult to look at what might be true and painful in every direction without taking positions. On the other hand, and this really concerns me, it goes to the heart.
Don't go to the other hand yet. Don't go to the other hand yet.
Okay.
Now, I don't really get to listen to the morning show because I'm actually working either on my way here or I'm working.
Yeah.
But if Marjorie Moore said there was a toxic atmosphere here, that's true.
Over a 10-year period.
Well, you know, I've been here over 10 years, and the atmosphere has never been as toxic as it is right now. And if you can imagine something happens and some other people come in or come back in, and they go around saying, oh, isn't everything wonderful without resolving what went wrong?
And then they say,
well, how come nobody's loving me? How come we're not better now? Are we better now? We're better than we've ever been.
Could
we've got rid of everybody.
A little. I'm understanding what you're saying. I want to get that a little clearer.
Mike, the clarity comes with this. You whatever it is, you have to face certain realities. Something happened here, and it's not being addressed.
I absolutely agree.
Okay? And when it is being addressed, it's being addressed either by one side, the other side. It's being addressed what I call disingenuously.
That's what I meant by corporatization and people being picked off, fired, and dehumanized. At this point, I'm not talking about whether I love Bernard White or my uncle. Important public personalities with a lot of influence, whatever I think of them, and very important positions, from Bob Lederer to Bernard White to Robert Knight to all kinds of people who've been resisting the Pacifica move, have been picked off one by one, and there's been a memo. B, and this is crucial, I heard you, Therese, with Gary Null yesterday. Amy Goodman, who I'm coming, I don't know Amy at all, and I'm becoming increasingly to admire her at this level, at a very deep level. Amy is making the claim that the program she does with you is being specifically and relentlessly interfered with.
Yes.
That she's being told what
true.
To say.
Well, I don't know if being told what to say, but true.
And I'm saying, as a listener, and as somebody who knows the place, and I'm saying this bluntly, either this is true or it isn't, and I'll say two things. If it's false, she has no business on being on Democracy Now! Or anywhere else because she wouldn't be credible as a public figure. This is very serious. B, if she is being, and no one will deny it, the incident she's given from, not to talk about, Lori Berenson, with Riley on top attacking Lori Berenson on the same grounds that she says Pacifica is, which gets me really nervous. Now, if she's being interfered with, this is a tremendous act of attack on freedom in America. This is a deeper problem than who likes who at BAI. This is a serious problem of whether you can have independent, unfettered thinking in America. Whether the NPR, Village Voice, and whether the monolith is going to prevail. And if people don't take this dead seriously, we're in trouble.
It's more serious than you think. Let me give you this. Let me ask you a personal question. You can, well, what is your job?
I actually am a freelance writer, and I'm not directly paid for anything.
What do you have, a brother or sister?
No, I'm an only child.
What did your parents do?
My father was a certified public accountant, and my mother was a housewife.
Okay, father certified public accountant.
Yep.
He worked for himself?
For many years, he worked independently for clients, and then he worked for a firm, and they finally dropped him when he lost his eyesight.
Okay. Let's take him to the time when he was at a firm, okay?
He was working for 16 years at a firm called Katz.
Okay, don't worry about what the firm is or anything like that.
Right.
He's working at a firm. He has a supervisor, a boss, right?
He was a partner, a junior partner.
Oh, that's kind of interesting. But he was a junior partner, which means there's a senior partner there, right?
The senior partner was basically the boss, but in reality, in principle, it was a partnership.
Okay, but
in reality, there was a boss.
Okay, not a good analogy. So I can't go with that one. But let me just put it this way: here's a situation that we labor under. I'm talking about one show.
Yeah,
it's a national show.
Right.
I'm talking about. I'll name the show Democracy Now.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
If you can picture this, right?
Yeah.
You have an extraordinary group of people. I'm talking about producers, the host, as well as dare I say the engineer. Okay.
Yeah.
You have four people working very hard. I mean, just focused on what they try to do for an hour a day.
Yeah.
They know how important the program is,
yeah.
You know, et cetera, et cetera. And try to make it best as they best possibly can.
Yeah.
Come in early, stay late, the whole thing. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I can't tell you. Well, forget it.
Yeah.
Now, you have that core group of people.
Yeah.
Then you have a person that's supposed to be in charge of those people. Getting them supplies, getting advertised for them to get more stations to bring this thing in, to get them a better facility,
yeah.
or whatever it is,
yeah.
whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's that person's job. But wouldn't that be the person's job? In other words, the person that's in over that whole thing, shouldn't that be what they're doing? They're supposed to be pushing that thing.
Yes.
Well, every time we see that person, he's attacking the program.
You mean Yasko?
He's attacking the host, the progenitor of the program. He doesn't talk to the engineer. I'm trying to say your person that's supposed to be defending you and pushing for you is trying to forget. I'm telling you, forget this thing. You think there's some sort of personality between, I don't know, trees and forget that part of it. Let's look at Pacifica trying to kill its own baby.
That's
what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trying to get incompetent people in positions where they can't even function. They don't even know their job. They can't give you a job. They tell you what their job description is, and then they go and violate their own description of their job. What is that about?
My feeling is, if you want to know, and no one will say this, if I watch what happened at The Voice, even to a degree at The Nation, and at Pacifica, at the Houston station, at the Washington station, which in my view have been seriously gutted, I think they want to destroy that program.
I don't know who wants to. Let me put it this way. From my experience working with the program on and off for like 2-3 years, whatever happened.
Yeah.
I was here when the program was created. I know why the program was created.
Yeah.
Okay? And let me just put it this way. From my experience, like I said, the four people working on the program, they're working. The people outside of the program, I don't know what they're doing, except for the engineer in Washington, D.C. that takes the fee from us and puts us up on a satellite. I don't see anybody else on our corner.
And I'm saying something.
I don't see. And I'm talking about in the workings of it. I just don't understand that. Why get into a job when you're to specifically kill the thing that you're supposed to be working for?
My guess is
doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately.
And then when you ask that person about this, they can't give you an answer.
Unfortunately.
And when you ask that person to talk to you about issues, they can't give you an answer. When they ask that person to have a meeting with you about, you know, regular things, they won't even talk to you. When you go to that person's assistant and tell that person through the assistant, look, I want an appointment with my boss.
Mm.
You get no answer. Come on. You ain't got my home phone number? You ain't got my voicemail number?
I hear what you're saying.
You haven't been in the hallway and I asked you to come here and then you here and you spend your time in the office? And not in so much Democracy Now! Office, somebody else's office?
Yeah.
Oh, now you're going to say, oh, Lord, Anthony, he's getting himself.
No, I'm not saying
that. All I'm trying to say to you, this is a principal thing with me.
I'm not saying
that. Talk to me. Don't send me no memos. Don't tell me what you can't do. Don't tell me there's no money to do this. When you said specifically this is what you're supposed to be doing, and this is the only national program you got, and when I say the only, I mean the only national program. I don't consider, we won't go any further.
Let me say something, okay?
Yes.
In relationship to what you said, because it's important. Amy has talked and doesn't get on the air now. She's given specific instances of where this has happened, point by point, where her content has been restricted.
My problem is not even that content reason. My problem is that they lie about it.
No,
They lie to their listeners about it. Ooh, that's such a sin.
My problem is not only the lie. My problem is that they restrict it, to tell you the truth. Both. And I would say something else, you see, that I also think is true. You know, when you talked about Margot's piece about the space, you know, with the... I've read a book, you know, about those moments of reverie.
Mm-hmm.
I also believe that in speaking to BAI and what its traditions are and impulses, we have to start valuing that as much as we do information. Not mitigated, but the type of stuff Carletta does, the type of thing Margot does. I also think we have to see that kind of thing as political and serious without taking away anything from the stuff Amy is doing and Democracy Now! Is doing.
Look, all I'm saying to you is that Carletta or whoever else, and it doesn't have to, maybe there are people that have somebody that's directly responsible in trying to sabotage what they do. And that's the situation that Democracy mm-hmm. Now! finds itself in.
And
I'm saying that, I'm telling you that publicly. I know it's going to get back to whoever needs to get back to. But guess what? They won't talk to me. Come on with it. Tell me I'm lying.
And I think
Tell me I'm lying. Please tell me I'm lying.
Okay,
and don't tell me I'm lying. And prove to me I am lying. Where are our supplies? Where is our budget? Where is our computer? You know what kind of computers we got? Come on.
I want to support what you're saying by saying this.
Oh, please. You know, where is our studio?
Well, I want to support what you're saying.
Ooh. Look, this is my whole problem. I don't want followers. I don't want supporters. I want the truth. I want people to embrace the truth. Because what's going to happen, however this institution has changed, but however this institution changes, the people that directly worked for 20 or 15 or 10 years to get the institution to where it was, to where it can make some sort of positive change, they have been gutted. And the people that are currently in place right now, talking about everything is hunky-dory and isn't it thing fabulous?
Yeah, I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
Well, I agree with you.
I'm sorry.
See,
show me your credentials. Show me your stripes on your... Show me the blood, the stripes. Show me the relationships throughout the years that you have at this station.
Well,
and what you did and how you and who you trained and who you didn't train.
Yeah, look, I understand that. And
gotta go
the reason
through.
I mentioned the broader context, and I think it's connected, because I don't want to restrict this to BAI if we're going to involve the community and get people known, get this thing really clear. I think what you're talking about, because ordinarily they wouldn't do this. They have a flagship program. They have a quote star. On the face of it, as you say, it would be weird to undermine and restrict that kind of person. I think, and this is my own feeling, either they don't want Amy and that kind of program there anymore altogether, and a much safer one, or, and they got a bad customer here, they want a controlled version of her.
Well,
I think that in some way, they don't want, the people who run Pacifica are often, no one likes to say this, I don't care if they're blue, white, or green. Painfully, I didn't know most of them were black, really seem to want the kind of station they call it, mass audiences and things like that, which the bankers...
Here's what I say. I don't want to cut you off, but I really got to cut you off.
Okay.
Is this. I always say this. look how people enter. What are their backgrounds? Do they have a background in community radio? Do they have a background in dealing with community issues? Do they have a background with dealing with real people?
They got a background in trying to undercut them.
And all I'm trying to say, if you look at where they come from, that gives you the answer. If they haven't been a part of any kind of struggle,
right,
or their struggle have been bourgeois struggle,
the only
you know
one
I mean?
Who has
then
been,
guess what?
The only one who has been significantly part of it, as far as I know, and this is complicated and painful, Mary Berry, who's very active in the whole thing, has been, but she's made a very fundamental.
Should we name all of the people out of the 60s who are now, you know, responsible parents and have 501c3s or whatever they have and belong to country clubs? Gotta go.
Okay.
Oh, I think I'll just have to end this right about now. Why? Because I've probably done what I shouldn't do. But this is, like I said, this has been, you know, I would just say, live radio, early morning radio alliance. It comes from the tradition of this. This is the way WBAI is, okay? My perspective, not other people's, but my perspective. And it comes from this great quote that somebody told me, well, actually, from Paul Wunder, the head of the early morning radio alliance, the late Paul Wunder. If you are at BAI and somebody comes to you on a Sunday and tells you it is raining outside, it is your job to look them dead in the eye. It is your job to look them dead in the eye and say, no, it's Tuesday and it's sunshiny. Marvin Gaye from the Master Series put out by Motown's a four CD box set. You should get it whenever you can. If you can't, sorry for it. The preceding program is brought to you all the way live with you on the phone. See you some other time. Oh, well, that's life. Let's see what else we can do. There we go.
Hi, this is Spike Lee, and you are listening to WBAI Community Radio in New York City. WBAI exists almost entirely on your support. Please be generous. Thank you very much.
What's the date?
The 10th.
And good morning. We're a little early this morning. It's 5:58. This is Marjorie Moore. Welcoming you. To your WBAI day. It begins right here at 6 a.m. And I hope you had a good evening with the producers and the talent and the talk that you heard this evening. Hope you had a good time. And but now we're going to start our day. It is Friday. Thank God it's Friday. August 10th. A hot, sweltering August 10th. And we have a guest in studio today. We're going to continue developing our community bulletin board with Joanne, who promised to come in on Fridays and did. She's here this morning. And T-Dub is taking us through as the engineer this morning. So stay with us. We're going to hear a little music, and I'll be right back.
Do the best,